Welcome to the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host. In case you didn't know, Bammer stands for Badass Mother Runner. This podcast will bring you stories from across Kentucky and beyond about badass women running and the people that support them. Let's get started. Hey guys, welcome back to episode 25, Bracing Your Inner Unicorn with Michelle Phillips. So Michelle is a relatively new runner to the running scene, but so many people already recognize her out in the community, mainly because she has this huge bright smile, a positive attitude, and of course her signature purple hair. So I wanted to bring her on the show so we could chat a little bit, not only about how and why she started running, but also talk about maybe some strategies she could recommend to runners of all shapes and sizes that may help motivate them to start their own journey. So whether you're a new runner or a seasoned runner, Michelle has some great stories and tips to share with everyone. So I hope you enjoy this really fun episode. Oh, and of course, we talk about what makes a bammer, which is important. So enjoy.
Hey, everybody. It's Stephanie Boyd, the Bluegrass Bammer, back with another podcast episode. And today I have with me my running friend, new running friend, actually, Michelle Phillips. Say hi, Michelle, to everybody listening.
Hello, y'all.
So Michelle and I met through a running group, no surprise there, but if you have been following her on any of her social media, which we'll talk about in a little bit, you will know Michelle is very inspiring. She's very motivational, and she is always doing something fun and interesting. She's got lots of hobbies outside of running, and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about those, but I was really excited to bring her on the podcast today because, Michelle, you just tend to light up a room and light up social media when you're on it, and we could all use a little positivity in our lives right now, so I thought what better guest to have than you on the show, so thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Yeah. Hello, everyone.
So tell us a little bit about, first of all, for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about who you are as a person. How do you identify as a human being?
I identify as a gay, Black, plus-size runner. I also have signature purple and pink hair. So I call myself the running unicorn because I'm usually running with a unicorn horn in my hair, and my purple and pink hair seem to be my signature statement. Everybody calls me the purple-haired lady, so that's me.
I think that's a great way to describe you if I was trying to think about it. the purple hair definitely gets people, and I do have to ask if how long you've had the purple hair, and are you planning on keeping it for a while?
I've had the purple hair off and on for the last 12 years. I tell my kids I better be buried with purple hair. it really is just me. Once I became assured in myself, I said, nobody's going to tell me what color my hair can be. So I dyed it purple, and it's been many shades of purple, but I love it.
I love it too. Yeah, it's great. I don't think I could pull off purple, but I have thought about like shades of color before, like just like a bright red, not like a red that just looks like real hair, but like bright red or something like that. And then probably work wouldn't appreciate that. But yeah. One of these days, I'm going to get brave. Maybe purple could be on my list.
Well, so start with the low light.
I don't want to go too crazy. I have a few friends that do hair or went to cosmetology school or beauty school. And sometimes I'll get a hold of them just to ask about, like, would this color be okay? I'm not sure what I'm doing because I'm not very girly. And you don't just want to let me loose, like, with hair color on my own. So... so I might have to call you for some pointers too when the time comes. Mm-hmm. So this I don't know about you, and so I'm interested to hear a little bit more about it, but when did you first start running? Were you young? Were you, was it later in life? Tell us a little bit about what your first memories of running are like.
My first memories of running actually was a turkey trot. And it's later in life. As a kid, I did outdoor activities, but no running, because I always felt like I'm too big to run. So let's walk. But as I got older, I realized that you're never too big. You just got to start. And I actually probably have been running consistently now for the last 4 years.
And when you say consistently, what types of races in the past have you completed? Let's not talk about this year yet, because I feel like we could talk, the whole podcast could be about 2020 and what you've been doing. So, so tell me kind of how you started. Where did you do races right away? Or were you just like going out and walk running, or just when did you decide I'm going to go out and just start running for fun or for exercise?
I used to live in Maryland, and where I lived, we had access to the only park in the city, well, the major park in the city. So from my condo, I could walk to the park and back, and it was 5 miles. So I challenged myself to walk it, and then it was skipping it, then it was slow jogging it, and then I finally got up the courage to actually run it. And when I did that, that felt empowering to me. It wasn't fast, but I was like, I can really do this. And I'm not, you know, I'm still alive, so let's keep going.
didn't kill you, right? So
No. But I would say the major thing that started me running actually was my younger son joined the Army, and to fight depression, I just literally said, let's go running. And I made a promise to him that I would take care of myself. And I wasn't. I really just sat. And as I sat, depression caved in. I went to work one day and I said, I don't feel so good. And when I said I didn't feel so good, the next thing you know, I'm in the hospital and they're talking about putting a shunt in my heart. I was like, who, me? No, that's not going to happen. So when I made a promise to him and to myself, I'm going to fix myself. So bought some shoes. They weren't the best running shoes, but it just sparked, you know, you got to make time for yourself. And I had put other things in front of myself, and my health was taking a toll. Mm-hmm.
So once you started kind of running and taking control of that a little bit more in terms of getting healthy, where did it lead to?
It led to not only a running, but a total life change. I already have a culinary degree, so I changed everything. I just changed to healthy eating. I changed, and advocated for other plus size people to come exercise with me. Everything just kind of shifted. I no longer told myself, well, when you get the weight off, you can do this or you can do that. I just went for it regardless of with the weight. I actually started dance fitness as another way to get myself active. And I always say I got two left feet, but you never know what'll happen when the music comes on. So I don't dread working out now, and I find different ways to get myself active. I say everybody has 30 minutes that they can do something for themselves.
That's really true. And it sounds overwhelming. I think sometimes that's the hardest part, is people trying to figure out where to start, whether it's running or just becoming more active. And unfortunately, there is a lot to see out, you know, in the news media and on social media, people that are out running miles and miles and, you know, 60-minute workouts. And that seems really daunting for some people, or some people jump in and try to do that much too fast, when in reality, you're right. I mean, if even if you can start with, you know, 15 minutes a day of something, it starts to become a habit. And then once it becomes a habit, you can start to build on those things. So I think you're right. It's just kind of trying to figure out what is a priority in our life, right? So, and then how to, once you figure out your health, this should be a priority for you. Where do you start, you know, and how do you do that? So I think you're, you know, that's a good tip, is that if you can just find 30 minutes in the day, because, you know, once you, you know, as runners, even by the time we lace up, get our clothes out, you know, even if we're just going to go run for 10 or 15 minutes, it probably takes about 30 minutes by the time we cool down and come back and re-energize and replenish and all of that. So yeah, I love that. Now, what are your, so you have, you said your youngest son was the one that went in, decided to go into the military. And what does he think about where you're at now compared to when he left and you made this promise to him that you would take care of yourself?
He surprised me earlier this year and put up an appreciation post to me and totally like melted my heart, because he says, you know, Mom, you run more than I do. You run further than I do. He says 3 miles, that's my tops. So kudos. And he enjoys that. I actually, every day that I exercise, I send him a picture, and he's like, that's my mom. My mom sends me a picture every day and tells me what she's doing or how she's going to incorporate it into her life. And it inspires me to exercise. As a plus size person, I have two sons. One's 26 and one's 23. And I always felt like I mismatched with them. I've got these skinny, tall kids, and here I am, plus size person. But you know, they motivate me, because they say that they now see the joy that I have that I didn't have before, because I'm just allowing myself to love myself regardless of the weight, or if things aren't going as planned, then okay. I actually challenged my older son to battle ropes, and he was like, really, Mom? No, I can't do this. But by the end of it, he was like, wow, you got some arms. And I was like, it takes practice.
I remember seeing that video, I think, that you posted of the two of you. And I was like, that is life goals for me, because I have two sons also that are a couple years apart, like your boys. Mine are much younger than yours, but I look forward. I mean, we do run together, and now they're at the age where they can keep up with me and are faster than me at some points. And my youngest son told me, not very long ago, or actually it was my oldest son, I think it was, that said he would like to run a marathon one day, because his dad and I have. And I think that's pretty cool that your sons are older and they're watching you, right? Like, they're taking cues from you and they're being motivated by you. Sometimes we think that's just little kids that are watching us, but, you know, as moms, but apparently they're paying attention all the time. Well, that's awesome. I think, go ahead.
Not even just my kids. As I said, I started walking my neighborhood park. There was a older community, and the little people there would be like, we seen you. Are you walking today or are you running? And it was like those people too challenged me or motivated me, because they looked forward to seeing me every day going out to the park. So it is the little things that you can do to, as you say, you know, find that 30 minutes. You may not have 30 minutes, but you can maybe find 5-10 minutes and walk your neighborhood. You can find 5 or 10 minutes, and you may not want to do squats, but squat on your steps. So it all is a point, because I have, as I struggle with looking at social media and seeing somebody do a 9-minute mile, and I'm like, yeah, I'm doing good to do 12. So comparison is something that you have to block out and just do you.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think it's really hard. You know, there, and it's crazy to think, but like, there are even elite runners out there that are, that get paid to run, that will go off of social media because the pressure is to be faster or stronger than the other person, and to watch other people outgrow what you're doing is too hard. So I can, you know, if those types of athletes are feeling the pressure, then surely women like us, right, have to learn to cope with that and then learn to work around it, or even sometimes use it as motivation. I'm a pretty competitive person. So in some ways I will feed off of other people's work, you know, the hard work that they're putting in to put more hard work in for myself. But you're right, that person and I are never going to have the same outcomes, right? We're never going to have the same, we may have the same types of goals, but we, our outcomes won't be the same because we're just very different people. And I think it's harder, maybe, I don't know, maybe as you get older, you just find yourself in a more comfortable place to be okay with that. And just to keep challenging yourself. I think that's, I've seen myself grow over time as I get older. I tend to want to challenge myself more, and I see other people setting goals that are really amazing, but those aren't things that I'm necessarily interested in doing. And that's okay. You know, my guess is people that are watching you are inspired and motivated, and also you are not scared to share struggles, or you're not scared to say, today was not my best day. And I've run with you before, and we both talked about how things are hard sometimes. It's not always rosy and unicorns, right? There's some days where you're like, oh. So how do you work through those days and get to the point where you still continue to push yourself and motivate yourself?
Those are the days I do my solo runs. And I literally, I can either be laughing, crying, screaming, and you wouldn't know because I'm still smiling to the person that's looking at me. I take that time and I, you know, heal myself, as I say. I face the issue, and I actually put it on a piece of paper in my shoe and run. And then when I get back, I throw it away because now the issue is gone. I try my best not to let it, you know, fester. Because as we are going through the pandemic now, I look at, and I'm so thankful for, even if I don't want to go outside and run, now I have a treadmill that I can come in my basement and run to, like the little hamster that I call myself sometimes. But you have to adapt and be okay with saying, like, today isn't a good day. I don't feel like running. I just want to walk. And not beat yourself up and just say, tomorrow it'll be different. But right now, this is what my body needs me to do.
Yeah, I love that about putting it in your shoe and then throwing it away when you get home. That's, you know, I don't know where you learned that trick, but I might share that with people. That feels like that would be so cleansing to be able to do that, like physically throw that away. Yeah. That's a great tip. So now let's talk a little bit about 2020. I want to shift gears just a little bit because there's been a lot happening this year for you. And I'm just talking about running at this point. I'm sure there's been a lot going on in your life outside of running, but I feel like this has been a really good year for you, despite some sad things and you know, of course, we're all going through this pandemic, and there's been a lot of just civil unrest and just so much going on this year. It seems amplified. But your running has been amazing and transformational, if I can say that, just from watching you. And so I have to ask, before this year, what was the furthest distance you'd ever walk or ran in one time?
3 miles.
Okay. So we're here at 3 miles at the end of 2019. And then in 2020, was 2020 when you joined our, or were you in Moms Run This Town in 2019? I didn't look up to see when you joined. Do you remember?
I want to say I joined the end of 2019.
Okay, I think you're right. You were working out, you were going to Planet Fitness, and you were posting your videos like a lot, and like several times a week, which was awesome. And you were just so, everyone's like, who's this woman? She's just shown up and she's on this treadmill and she's got purple hair and she's giving us motivational speeches. At the same time, she is like evolving in this running journey that she's in. So we're watching this unfold. I remember my friend Allison, who's the other chapter leader, get a hold of me and ask, who is this woman? And I'm like, I don't know, but I have to meet her. And she's amazing. And so we would talk a little bit about you, and then you would pop up again, you know, and actually we would get worried if we didn't see video from you. And then you and I may have exchanged words a few times on social media, and then the pandemic hit and we stopped group runs and everything, but you were still there and you were still posting. And you messaged me the middle of the year, it was probably like late July, early August, and said, hey, I want to sign up for the Urban Bourbon Half Marathon. I'm thinking about it. I think that's what you said. You were thinking about it, or you were going to, you were ready to sign up, and you had started training for it. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure, do it. Let's go for it, you know. And you said, I'm scared, but I'm up to the challenge. That's what you told me. And I believed you. I didn't know you that well, but I did believe that you were up for the challenge. So tell us about the training for your first half marathon. And how did that go? And how did it make you feel when you completed that first one?
Well, I actually ran it before I ran it.
Yeah, tell people. Yeah, I was trying not to be upset with you about that. You're sneaky.
So I have several people that helped me through that journey. The first would be Norma. Norma took me under her wing and said, okay, I'm going to show you how you're going to get there. And when we first started, I was like, I am dying. I only do 3 miles. You're talking how many miles? Wait a minute. And how many times? Even though I was running, I was like leisurely running. I wasn't really putting the effort into it. So, as she put me on a training schedule, after probably 2 weeks, I was like, okay, I got this. So I bought myself a calendar and I said, okay, even if she doesn't run, I'm going to run. And it became empowering because it gave me something else to focus on. I would set goals of, okay, I'm going to do heels. No, let's not do heels today. Well, let's do the loop. So moving back here, I rewind, I lived in Maryland for 10 years. I moved home to Kentucky in 2019 and had to figure out my bearings again. So I'm thankful that Louisville has so many parks that I can run in. So I would pick a park and say, okay, well, let's run this today. Then I joined the wonderful group Moms Run This Town, and I had more people to run with because most times when I asked someone to run with me, they were like, from what and why? And I had to find people who were like-minded like me so that I would stay motivated, because not every day you're going to want to run. My first actual long run was the Churchill Downs from my home. And that was empowering because I was like, oh, wait a minute, I can do this. And I just gave myself, you know, gave myself a little bit of, not so much pep talk, but told myself that you're not going to be Usain Bolt when you first start running. You're going to be that slow person. You're going to be that turtle. And as you progress, you'll get faster, but you're still learning what fast is for you. Don't compare your run to somebody else's run. So as I started training with Norma, then other people helped me in the journey. And I graduated to, before I even said the Urban Bourbon, I asked my son, let's run a marathon when you get back. And then he got assigned to Korea. And I was like, oh, no, this isn't happiness. So that's what sparked me to do the Urban Bourbon, because it was like, I can't do a full marathon, but maybe I can do a half. So in doing that, that helped me not focus on that my son was all the way across the world. The training run, I literally would go, okay, this week we're going to do 5 miles, and then you feel empowered doing five. So next week, let's add one more mile. And once I got to, I was ready to sign up for the Urban Bourbon. I signed up and sent me the sweetest package. And I was like, wait a minute, they really think I am a runner. I guess I am a runner. So I did 8 miles at the Parklands, and I took time off the next week because I thought it was a fluke in my head. I was like, no, I really ran 8 miles. I don't think I did that. So I asked friends to join me, and we were going to do 9 miles because I wanted to run the downtown Doubler. And my good friend, Laura, said, how far have you ran? And I said, oh, I did a couple of turkey trots. She said, who goes from a turkey trot of 3 miles to saying they're running 9? I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to try it.
So you're like, I don't know. I'm new here. I don't know. Well, I don't know what's normal.
Yeah,
I'm just trying.
I was like, in my mind, it made sense. She's like, no, you don't jump that big. But I was like, eh, just let's do it. So I ran the downtown Doubler, and then I used that as a training run. And then the next thing I did was I enlisted Wendy and Marcy to do a training run with me. And as we got halfway there, I was like, come on, ladies, let's just keep going. And I remember Wendy going, I didn't sign up for a half marathon. Wait a minute. But as I was running, I literally started crying because I was like, I'm really doing this. And they were like, yes, you are. And it helped that I had not only, I didn't call them friends. I had sisters who told me, you can do it. Just, you know, you don't have to concentrate on being fast. Just concentrate on one foot in front of the other. And as I finished it, I was just like, I've never been so proud of myself that I did it. So I know if I can do this, then I can do the Urban Bourbon. And then the Urban Bourbon was canceled. So I was like, wait a minute. No, this was my moment of glory. I was going to like do this.
Snatched.
Race.
It was snatched right out of, from underneath of you.
Yeah. And once again, I messaged you and I said, I still want to run it. And I put out a call and I said, I want to run this race at the Parklands. It's going to be, you know, on the day of the race. And thankfully, Running Sisters came, and they came in the midst of it, and they ran with me for one ran with three, and then a couple ran five, but that too gave me the motivation to, you know, keep going. When you are running, you often think you're by yourself, but you're not by yourself. And somebody told me that, you know, I'm never alone. I just have to, you know, remember to say, today I want to do it by myself, but tomorrow I'm going to do it with my sister. And it makes it easier. It makes it not seem as daunting. The park that probably gets me the most is Iroquois Park, but I love that park because those hills will get you together like nobody's business.
Yes, they will keep you focused. And I think that's true, you know, when you think about in a, obviously you haven't had the ability this year to run a, like at this point you had not had the ability to run a race with hundreds or thousands of other people like you would have at Urban Bourbon. But even it's surrounded by all those people, when you're racing, you do stay really focused. And you do, I mean, if you plan on running it on your own, you are on your own out there. And, but you will, you know, maybe at mile three or mile five, you might find yourself chatting with people, you know, that you're running beside, and then you go on or they go on, and then you're by yourself for a little bit. And then maybe at mile 10, you run up, you know, with somebody else, and they may be complete strangers, but you might chat a little bit while you're running. And so those things sometimes give me a big push, even if I'm out there running the race by myself without my friends. So it's almost like you simulated race day, you know, by having people meet you at different points while you were running your virtual Urban Bourbon, if that makes sense. So yeah, you did a good job with that. That was a good idea. And how did you feel when you were finished with that?
When I started that race, I was not prepared. Even though I had said that I wanted to run it, it was like I half packed my bag. I didn't eat breakfast that morning. And as I sat there at the start, I was like, nobody's here. I really am by myself. So I had I call it a come to Jesus moment. And I was like, Michelle, what are you going to do? Nobody will care if, you know, you don't run it. But I said, nope. I said, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it regardless of, you know, anything that could deter me. I'm going to do it. And I literally laced up my shoes, took the picture to start it. I said, okay, let's go. So as I ran it, you know, and did the turn and saw the lady, that inspired me. And when the ladies dropped off at mile 10, I hit that wall because I hadn't ate, and I didn't properly hydrate. So once again, I said, Michelle, your car is this way. So come on, you can do it. One foot in front of the other. I had to let go of, in my mind, if I don't get under 3 hours, then I'm not really, you know, good at this. I shouldn't, you know, be running this. But then I had to say to myself, Michelle, you didn't even think you could run 5 miles, let alone 13. So be easy on yourself, you know. And that helped me afterwards when I was looking at the photos of myself and going, wait a minute, I really did that.
Sometimes we need photo proof to even believe it, even though we were there. And you did amazing. And so you completed that, and then you decided, I'm going to do Downtown Doubler.
No, the Downtown Doubler was actually before the Urban Bourbon.
Okay, that's right. You switched those. And so then you did the Urban Bourbon, and then did you think, what am I going to do next? Well, or were you like, I want to take a break. I want to take a break for a minute.
Other people were like, now it's time for you to train for a marathon. I was like, wait a minute now.
I understand that you all have these goals for me, but Michelle says no. So I signed up for the Christmas half marathon in Harrisburg. So I'm doing that. I want to say that I want to do a full marathon, but until I can concretely come up with a plan that works for me, I'm going to stick with the half.
I love the half marathon distance. I think it's something that's manageable in terms of the training plan itself, you know, in terms of, you know, a lot of people, it's, do I have time to train for a race right now? And a half marathon's pretty doable with a training plan as far as the time commitment. And also, it's a lot easier for me personally to nail down nutrition for a shorter distance like that. But you're right. Mm-hmm. Once you jump from that half marathon to that full marathon distance, even in between, you know, if you were to do 18 miles or 19 miles, that's a game changer in terms of what your body decides it needs. It is for a lot of people. And that's why there's so much science behind racing fuel, period, because marathons are really what kind of tipped the scale in terms of making sure people had, you know, the proper balance, nutrition. And that's why we have so many manufacturers, fuels and things like that, because it's very difficult to try to nail that down, and everybody is so individual that it takes time. And I know the first time I trained for a marathon, and you will probably feel like this when you train for your first, is just trying to nail down what works for you and what doesn't, and it can be frustrating at times. But I think that was the hardest part of my training. It wasn't getting the miles in. It was figuring out, how do I do this safely and not feel like crap at the end? I think you have a good approach to what you're doing. And if you get a few more half marathons under your belt, you're tweaking that nutrition plan and getting that down, and then you're adding to it. So you're not starting from scratch when you go to try to train for a marathon. Because, you know, I mean, someone who has your background in culinary, in the culinary profession, what works for some people doesn't work for other people. So you do have that going for you. And spoiler alert, I need to tell people this, but in October, you told me you were back in grad school again. So, and it's, your major is your master's, you're getting your master's degree now. And is it exercise science? Correct me.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So that will just lend to, I think, more, it's kind of like all your passions are being rolled up into one thing, but they will all play off each other so well when you start training for other races. So that's exciting.
I want to go back to the food part. Because for me, my challenge is I don't have a gallbladder. So
neither neither one of us have a gallbladder. We're twins. That's it.
So some things that work for other people are not so happy with me. So people will tell me, "Oh, try this," and I'm like, "No, that didn't taste so good," or that, you know, that didn't make my tummy feel good. I'm trying everything, and I'm being okay with saying, no, I don't like that. Not only fuel, but I struggle with getting enough liquid in, because I'm like, oh, well, where's the bathroom? You've got to plan everything out to the most smallest detail. And I also wear glasses, and if my glasses get fogged up, then my whole life is all messed up. So I'm trying to be as gentle as I can with myself and challenge myself to keep running because I want to see how far my body can go.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with distance runners, is that we want to see how far we can push ourselves sometimes, which sounds horrible, but it's you know, it's just thing that a lot of runners that like to go far distances want to do, you know, okay, my body's capable of this and I know we can do this. Now what? Now, where can I, what can I do next? Can I even try this? And it just opens up to me, running opens up so many other realms of possibilities in other parts of your life. And I don't know if that's, you've ever done that, but like, okay, I can run 13 miles or I can run 26 miles. So I can go do this thing over here now because I know I have to try. And if, you know, if I mess up or I need to tweak things, I will, you know, that's just, you kind of get that training mentality and it helps build some mental toughness for you so that you can do other things that are hard, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes. Because as you said, I'm in graduate school and I've actually been in school for the last 6 years. I started my associate's and got my bachelor's and now I'm working on my master's. And I block out as much as I can by focusing on what's important to me. So I still work full time and I go to school full time and I work out. So I always say to other people, if I can find the time with all that I got going on, I know you have kids and I don't have small kids, but still I have to go home and, you know, use my brain to do my schoolwork. So I have set up for myself, I come home, I decompress for about 30 minutes, and then I do my homework, I work out, make my lunch for the next day, and then I go to bed. And some days I can be in bed early. Some days I, you know, it'll take me a little longer, but I still say to myself that doing something for myself will make it that much easier. And I actually look forward to the workout versus, oh my God, I got to work out again. Can I just keep it today?
Right. So I have to talk about this because it's just amazing and awesome. But you messaged me and told me, you were like, hey, do you know who Myrna Valerio is? Valerio. I can't, is that how she says her last name? Valerio?
I don't know.
I think it's Valerio, because I've listened to her podcast before, but you were like, hey, do you know who that is? And I was like, do I know who that is? She's like a superstar, you know? Yes, I know who she is. And you were like, you're never going to believe this. And then you sent me a screenshot that she had asked if she could use one of your running pictures to put up in as a cover photo in the Fat Girl Running group that she is a moderator for or an admin for. And my mind was just blown, and not because it was you, but because I've never, like, I've had a couple of times where I've been able to meet elite runners and, you know, runners that are like celebrities, and it just never ceases. It just always makes me excited. And so I was just like geeking out when this happened for you, because I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. And so I hope I can say that on the podcast, because I know at first you were like, you know, I shouldn't say anything yet. I haven't told anybody yet, but I think you finally did tell people that she put your picture up there.
That was surreal for me because, plus size person, I had bought her book, and as I was reading her book, I was just like, she's talking to me and she looks like me. So that was another, person to say, it's okay that you're plus size, just be active. So when she messaged me, you know, you get those random Facebook messages and you're like, oh, that's a weirdo. No, I don't want to answer that. And then when I saw it and looked at it, I kind of stared at it like, she's really messaging me? Out of all the people on her thing, me? And I first I told my mom. I was like, Mom, look at this. And my mom's not a runner. So she was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
And I told my kids. And then my kids were like, Mom, why not send a picture in? I was like, because I want to know why. And they were like, because you run. So it gave me not validation so much, but just a sense of pride that it was me. It was just me being me, not anything special, and just focusing on enjoying what I like to do. So, yeah. So it's still up now. And every time I click on the page and I see myself, I'm like, that little girl is me.
I know. It's so awesome. I'm like, I know her. Because I went and looked back at it today to make sure it was still there. And I was like, I know her. I know someone famous. So I just remember when you sent me that, I was like having a fangirl moment. It wasn't even me. Like, I was just so excited for you. That was amazing.
You and had a fangirl moment. I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Wait,
I would have fell out. I would have fell out of my chair. So I have to say that when you sent me that, I know you said it doesn't validate, but it kind of does. Like, this person who is out motivating and inspiring people every day, she's amazing, sees you doing that too. Like, to me, that's validation. If you're someone who does it, and I mean, she gets paid to do these things, like, does it for a living, sees this person and says she is doing it, she's doing the work, like, yeah, it is validation though. And you can say that, you know, you can totally, don't be too shy. Like, you can totally say that, because she sees something about you that probably reminds her, you know, of herself. It's probably something she thinks about herself, and that would be total validation for me. But like, oh, I'm done. I don't have to do anything else in life. But yeah, I mean, we've talked about this, and you know, it's one of those things like, yeah, Michelle, you're a runner. No shock there. Like, hello. Yeah, you're totally a runner. But it was totally cool to see you, to see that. It totally, I was really happy for you, because that's pretty cool.
Thank you.
So what, you know, just kind of thinking about 2020, and, you know, maybe you're thinking about goals after half marathon distance and things like that. For people who are trying to think about starting their running journey, what advice, from your experience, what advice would you give them? I know we talked about, like, just take some time. Yeah.
Probably the first thing is get outside of your own head. Don't let anybody tell you what your journey is supposed to look like, or what your journey is supposed to feel like, even. Because I would have never imagined that I would run 13 miles. I would never imagine that I feel empowered enough that I run in my sports bra during the summertime in the city. I would never imagine that I would be saying at this point that I'm going to run my third half marathon, when I was one of those people, when I saw people running, I was like, they are the dumbest people ever. You can get in your car and go somewhere. But now, I gladly say I'm a running junkie. I have more running clothes than I have regular clothes, because yes. I'm always like, oh, I need that. Oh, I need that.
Yes.
And my kids are like, Mom, you got more sneakers than I do. I'm like, yeah, but they all serve a purpose. This one goes on this thing, and this one goes on that thing. They're like, we never thought you would say that. But I do. Yeah. I do. I enjoy taking care of myself. And my body is enjoying me taking care of myself. Because if I miss too many workouts, my body literally is like, hey, wait a minute. You forgot about me. And I think if more people tapped into that, they would understand it. I was running one day to Churchill Downs, and this man literally stopped me, and he was like, if more people exercise, there'd be a lot less depression in the world. And I feel that, because as I said, that, you know, I have those, you would never know if I'm sad, happy, or glad, because I've got a smile on my face. But I started putting my problem or whatever was bothering me in my shoe, I literally felt like by the end of that run, the weight was lifted. The fog was over. Mm-hmm. It's not as pertinent as I thought it was. It could be, you know, the end of the world, but it's over. It's underneath me now. It's beneath me now because it's a part of my shoe.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm still going to use that. I'm still going to tell people to do that. So we have a few more minutes left. And before we end, I want to ask you about being a BAMR. And of course, you know, this is what this podcast is about. And I want to ask you, what do you feel like when you hear the word BAMR, if you call somebody a BAMR, what does that mean? Like, what words do you think of, or what kind of woman is that?
A woman who knows that she is important, regardless of if she has a husband, wife, kids, dog. She is putting herself and her health in the forefront, because she knows that if she doesn't take care of herself, she can't take care of anything else.
Yeah, that's good. It's kind of that thing we always hear on the airline, you know, when we take a flight, is to put your mask on before you put anybody else's mask on. You know, you got to put yourself first if you're going to help other people. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've loved having you on the podcast today, and I know everybody is going to want to listen and then maybe follow your journey. So if you have a social media account that people can kind of keep an eye on you and see what you're doing next, do you want to share that with us?
Yes, of course. My social media is Mimi is changing. So it's Mimi_is_changing. That's my Instagram. Or okay. You could always use the hashtag Louisville Unicorn Lou. And that'll tag, let me correct that. It's Unicorn Lou. And that shows me that you're running, and it's almost like you're running with me. So that gives me motivation to run. And I hope that I motivate you to run, or, you know, start walking. Walking isn't bad.
That's how a lot of us started.
No. And I want to just say that as a person who never imagined running, let alone being as outspoken as I am about running, it started with the simple, I got to do something better, and one foot in front of the other, and being okay with just starting, because you never know what you can do until you start.
Yep.
One moment.
Yep, I agree with all of that. Well, Michelle, I know we're all going to be watching to see how your training's going for your next distance and your next race. And thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And I hope I get to see you again sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Thanks, Michelle. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bluegrass BAMR podcast. If you like what you've heard, hit subscribe to the podcast so you can catch the next episode when it's live. Also, you can find me on my blog. That is bluegrassbammer.wordpress.com. Or you can follow me at bluegrassbammer on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. See you next time, and until then, happy running.